Shalom, brethren. Today is Tuesday, the 22nd of March, 2022, and it's on the Roman Gregorian calendar, and on the Hebrew calendar, which is the Creator's calendar, is the 19th day of the Hebrew month called Adar Bet. So last month was number one is in Hebrew, but number two is Bet. Adar Aleph last month, and then this month is Adar Bet. So, I realize I made a small error in the previous audio where I said that the month of Adar, where it was arranged for the people of Israel to be annihilated as desired by Haman the Amalekite, I said Adar is the 11th month. I need to correct that before it's too late. Adar is not the 11th month of the year, rather it's the 12th month of the year when you're counting from the month of Nisan, which falls in April, as per Exodus chapter 12, verse 1 to 2, where Yahweh says, "This shall be for you the first month of the year," or Rosh Hashanah. So please note, Adar is not the 11th month, but rather the 12th month of the year. There are various things that I was meant to share last week regarding Purim, but I haven't been able to have a chance to do the audios. I'll share one or two things now, then maybe I'll get a chance to share again soon. So, when Haman was casting lots, as recorded in the book of Esther, he tried every month. He first of all tried days of the week. There was no suitable day because when they were casting the lots, for some reason, each day of the week was speaking and saying what was created on that day. So that sort of blocked Haman from being able to decide which day of the week would be best to kill the Israelites in the kingdom of Persia and Media, now, which is the Silver Kingdom or the Silver Empire, as per Daniel chapter 2. So I think he tried something else, I've forgotten, and it didn't work either. Then he decided to opt for casting lots in terms of which month of the year he should get the Israelites killed, because he was frustrated with Mordecai refusing to bow before him. And, you know, he just wanted to have his way. So when he cast the lots, each month spoke and gave him a reason as to why he cannot use that month to kill Israel. The only month that did not speak up was the month of Adar, and that's the 12th month of the year, though it can appear twice if it's a leap year and therefore be split into two, the 12th and the 13th month of the year. Now, when he was casting lots to see which day would be best to kill Israel, as I said earlier, the month of Adar did not say anything. And he thought he has finally got the right time and the right season to do what he wanted to do for his evil agenda to come to pass. Little did he know that Adar is the month in which Moshe the prophet and the king of Israel, he's the first king of Israel, was born in the month of Adar. So he was born on the seventh day of the Hebrew month of Adar, and he died on the seventh day of the Hebrew month of Adar. And Moshe is also known as a redeemer. So he's the redeemer of Israel. He is somebody that the Lord uses to point to what Yahushua HaMashiach was to do in the future as the Redeemer of all, of first of all, the Redeemer of Israel, and then the Redeemer of the Gentiles. So the Israel first, and then the Gentiles. So Moshe is known as a Redeemer, and this is repeated when he goes up to get the Ten Commandment tablets, or the Torah, and the which include the Torah. And they become impatient, and they create the golden calf as per Exodus chapter 32. So Moshe is a redeemer. He was the first king of Israel. This was the issue of being a king was established on the day that the Shekinah glory came down upon the tabernacle of meeting, which is the first day of the Hebrew month called Nisan, which usually falls in April. So, and then the issue of the being a prophet, you know, was established from when he was on Mount Horeb, where he met the Lord for the very first time, and the Lord gave him the task of delivering Israel from Egypt. Anyway, there are other ways in which his prophetic calling was exhibited throughout the holy biblical scriptures. For example, when he was dying, he released a lot of prophecies, some of which are not even recorded in our Bibles. So Moshe is known as a redeemer. And the month of Nisan is known as the month of redemption, the redemption of mankind, because that's the month in which, first and foremost, we are delivered from the bondage of Hasatan, the adversary, the enemy of mankind. We are delivered through blood sacrifice of the lamb, the firstborn lamb. This picture was first and foremost drawn in Egypt, Mizraim. That lamb that each family sacrificed represented Yahushua HaMashiach, and Yahushua HaMashiach's blood was in that blood, because Yahushua, remember, had already been sacrificed for our sins in the spiritual realm from before the foundations of the world. So the crucifixion we see in the Gospels, first of all, manifested in the spiritual realm from before the foundations of the world, and then manifested later on in the physical realm. Now, and we all know that he's constantly depicted as the Lamb of God, or the Lamb of Yah, or the Lamb of Elohim. So the month of Adar is the month in which the Redeemer was born, Moshe. He was born 3 months early, as I've already shared in the past, because the Lord wanted to conceal his birth, him, and give the parents a chance to nurture him a little bit before handing him over to, you know, before placing him on the river in the Moses basket, to let him go to wherever the Lord wanted him to go. So he was born 3 months earlier than, otherwise he would have been born at Pentecost time, the second day of Pentecost. So anyway, the month of Adar, because is the month that speaks of redemption. And now we also know that is the month that speaks of Naphtali, the deer. So it's associated with the tribe of Naphtali. And Naphtali is prophesied of in the book of Genesis as the deer. He runs as a deer that has been set free. And, you know, as a result, we're meant to pray that the Lord will, you know, speed us up, cause things in our lives to speed up like Naphtali was. You can only understand this when you read the book of Jasha or Hayashar, or the book of the it's also known as the book of the upright man, or the book of the just man, where Joseph sends Naphtali to go and collect the deed of the land, the holy land, so as to show it to Esau as evidence that the land belongs to them and not Esau.
and his descendants. So this is the month of Naphtali. As the deep panteth for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Amen in Yahushua's name. So Psalm 42 verse 1 is one of the themes of this month, aside from the book of Esther. Now, we celebrate Purim, the Feast of Lots, or the Feast of Purim, or the appointed time, because Yahweh calls them appointed times in Hebrew, and the Hebrew word is Moed, M-O-E-D. But of course, over time, when things were translated, we ended up calling them feasts or festivals. So we celebrate the festival of Lots, or the appointed time of Lots, in this month, based on the fact that Haman cast lots for the Jews or the Israelites to be killed during this month of Adar on the 13th day of the Hebrew month, was the arranged date for the Israelites to be killed. But praise Yah for Esther, Hadassah, and Mordechai, whom Yahweh, from the tribe of Benjamin, whom Yahweh used to rescue Israel by empowering them to fight. You know, basically when they spoke to the king, Haman was exposed and killed, and then the children of Israel were given the command, and they were empowered to fight against their enemies, take up arms, you know, rise up and fight against their enemies when the time comes, you know. Because the king in those days, once the king speaks, once his decrees that this is what's going to happen, there was no way to turn it around. It wasn't possible to cancel that decree. So rather than cancel the decree, which had gone out 1 year, you know, or some time before, he gave the Israelites the power to fight against their enemies, and the Israelites overcame. Now they found themselves fighting on the 13th, on the 14th, and the 15th of the Hebrew month called Adar. So it was difficult to celebrate Purim in the very first time that they had to fight. But henceforth, it was declared that around that time of year, every year, we are to fast for at least 1 day marathon, or 3 days. It's up to you what you can do, but yeah, it's good to fast around that time, especially on the 13th of Adar, which last week fell on Wednesday. Sorry, this year has fallen on a Wednesday last week, Wednesday 16th of March, and then celebrate Purim on the 14th of Adar, which was Thursday last week. And Purim is also celebrated in some places on the 15th of Adar, which last week was on, which was, you know, is Friday this year, Friday 18th of March this year, 2022. The reason for that is some people were still fighting on Purim, so they had to finish the battle on the 14th of Adar and then celebrate Purim on the 15th of Adar. So we give thanks to Abba Yahweh for victory, the taking up on of arms to fight. Yahweh has said that is going to be repeated for the Revelation 7 bride and the guests of Yahushua HaMashiach shortly after the rapture of the Revelation 14 bride. So this links back once again to the future that is not far from now, the taking up of arms to fight. And then at the end of the Great Tribulation, there will be the Battle of Battles, the final war, whereby all the people of Yah are going to take part against the kingdom of darkness. And we have to take up arms and fight once again. So that battle that happens in the book of Esther is very significant because it points to the future. It's going to be repeated all over again. Now, the petition that Esther did to the king happened in the month of Nisan, which is the very first month of the year, which for us this year is next month. This happened during Passover. So she did the first banquet on the first day of Passover, the Passover Seder. Remember, Passover, we celebrate Passover every year by holding a Seder. Seder means order. So we sit at the table and we do a special Holy Communion, which can last about an hour or more. You could, depending on how you do it, it usually lasts about 3 hours because we go through various parts of the Bible reminiscing what has happened both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. What we don't talk about on this day is the book of Esther on Passover. We focus on the deliverance from bondage in Egypt and so we reminisce. I just had to pause a little bit. We reminisce what happened in Egypt, and we reminisce what happened close to Yahushua's death. In fact, right now we're supposed to be going through those passages so we can familiarize ourselves with them all over again. And by the time we get to the Seder table, we know them off the top of our heads, though at the same time it's good for us to read through them again or summarize. Now, as I said, we don't talk about the book of Esther, even though it happened during the Feast of Passover. So on the 14th day of the month of Nisan, which is the first day of Passover, and therefore the first day of the Festival of Unleavened Bread. So unleavened bread in Hebrew is matzah. Matzah, single, matzot, plural. We do the Seder, and we do it is a very special long Holy Communion, and we do this on the second day, which is the 15th day of Nisan as well. Then that's it, and then the following day, the 16th of Nisan, in the evening, we begin to count the Omer at sunset. You can do it at sunset or during the day, but whichever way you start it, you have to continue and see it through till the end. So if you start counting at sunset, stick to sunset. If you start counting during the day, like in the morning, before sunset of the next day, then you continue with that for 7 weeks, and we go through the seven attributes of the Most High God. These seven attributes are revealed through the creation of the 7 days of the week, which represent the seven millenniums of the existence of the world. Now, well, I said eight in the first audio because Yahushua's millennial Sabbath reign is from the year 7000 to the year 8000. I mean, from the year 8000, eternity sets in. No more counting of time. Now, I'm going to stop the audio soon. So I just wanted to highlight that the banquet Esther did was on the 14th and the 15th of Nisan. And it was then that it was decreed for Haman to die. Now, as far as I am concerned, from what I have read, Haman was killed the next year. He wasn't killed that very year. He was killed in the next year during the month in which he had planned to kill the Israelites. Now, Haman was a very evil man. The Lord portrayed him as a serpent that was very tall and was ready to bite the Israelites and finish them. But the Lord used a hurricane. This is a dream that Mordecai had, which is not included in the book of Esther. You have to go to the editions of Esther, which is a lost book of the Bible, to read it. And the legends of the Jews to read it as well. So he's portrayed as a serpent, and that is what the Amalekites are. That is what the Romans are generally, the ones who are not set apart by the Most High God. Generally, the Romans are the serpent seed. Remember, Rome is Esau. Esau is a serpent seed. Esau was born with a serpent tattoo on his body, whereas Jacob was a holy seed of of Isaac and Rebekah. Esau was an evil or wicked seed, just like Cain and just like Ishmael. Now, Cain, Ishmael, and Esau are all in the same bundle. Their job is to kill Israel, Isaac, and Abel. Now, Cain succeeded with Abel. Ishmael nearly succeeded with Isaac. And Esau nearly succeeded with Jacob or Israel. But the Lord did not allow it, because Jacob, Israel is the future of this world. Well, yes. As I said in the previous audio, the existence of this world and everything in it is based on the existence of Israel. If Israel is annihilated, there will be no reason for anybody else to, that is a Gentile, to exist. Even the sun and moon will have no reason to exist again. That's how important the people of Israel are in the entire world. Now, that's not to call for pride. It's, you know, we're still meant to remain humble before the Lord. So I'm going to bring this audio to an end. I hope I've tried my best to throw more light on the issue that Adar is a very special month. It's the 12th month of the year. And it's the month of redemption. Though Nisan is also the month of redemption, we also see Adar as the month of redemption to a certain extent, because the Lord delivered Israel from being wiped off the face of the earth. And also the Redeemer was born in this month. And it's the month of Naphtali. Naphtali, the one that is like the deer out of all the children of Israel. So let us just continue to ask the Lord to teach us more and to help us to, you know, to be, you know, to be set free from the traps of the enemy. May we not fall into the traps of the enemy in Jesus' name. Israel sort of gave the upper hand to Haman to attack them because of attending the banquet of Ahasuerus, who is also known as Ahasuerus in some versions, and Xerxes in some other versions. You know, the king that married Esther, Hadassah. But the Lord had mercy eventually and delivered Israel from the hands of the Amalekite, as per Exodus 17, where the Lord declares that he will always ensure that Amalek loses their life, that Amalek does not rise up again to attack Israel. So an Amalek is a descendant of Esau. Remember, once again, this is the world of Esau. The next world is the world of Israel. So this is the world where we have to walk through the narrow path to be able to enter into eternal life with Yah. But the next world is where we will enjoy the wide path or the wide gate of eternal life. Hallelujah. All right, this is shared in the book of Ezra, who is known as Esdras. Okay, shalom. Bye.